great way for a host to start. We could stop. We could say ba-boom. This is Ben Free, and I'd like to welcome everybody to our Monday night conference call, live simulcast on BBS radio, and a telephone conference line. And we usually start the official BBS part at 6, since most people check in at 6. But the line was open, so I'm on, and you're going to hear some people beeping in as time goes on. And we have a really interesting show tonight, I think. We'll see. Maybe it won't be. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hello, it's Marianne in Chula Vista, California.
Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
How's the weather in Chula Vista?
Oh, we had a dreary day today, but no rain.
Well, we're hoping for rain, you know. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Hi, Suzanne from Arizona.
Hi, Suzanne.
Hello. Wayne, South Carolina.
Wayne. And anyone else? Okay. Now, Terry's not here yet.
There are 7 participants in the conference.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And 1 person listening in. Okay, we are broadcast live on BBS and on the telephone line, and we're going to officially start in 1 or 2 minutes, and I might as well do a commercial right now. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Yes, this is Maya.
Hi, Maya. Maya is very lucky. She's in Hawaii, and she's been swimming with dolphins. Is that true?
Well, I haven't yet. I have been in the same place with them, but I haven't actually come up close to them yet.
Did you see them?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, this is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Oh, this is Andrea in Atlanta.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Wynn.
And this is Anna in Berkeley, and I also have Francis with me.
Francis. Hi, Francis.
In Concord, yes.
Oh, Francis, you and Francis are on the same call?
Yes.
Okay. This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name and your city?
Emmy Tucson.
Hi, Emmy. How are you?
Hi. Oh, thank you. Fine.
What is your accent?
German.
You are Deutschland.
Deutschland, yeah.
Okay.
I came here over 50 years ago.
Hey, don't tell everybody. They're going to think you're old.
That's okay. That's okay. That's fine. That's part of life. Thank God I'm here.
All right.
I'm not age conscious.
Me neither. Thank goodness. Anybody else on the line that didn't say hello? No. And where is Terry? This is Wynn. Would you like to say your name?
Hi, this is Tara.
Hi, Tara.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk
hello,
to you.
Hello, everyone. Hello.
Hey, did you have a nice conversation with Charles?
Oh, yes, I enjoyed it. I'm sure there'll be more.
Okay, great. We're putting together the fragments, right? Piece by piece.
Dumpty,
right. Okay. You guys don't know what that means. By the way, Tara has been checking into our calls fairly regularly, and I'll share with you how I know Tara. Tara is an author, and she wrote a book called Angel of Auschwitz, and it's being published by my publisher, the same publisher. And so they asked me to read the book and say something positive about it as a testimonial because they want to use it on the back cover. So I read her book, and I actually thought, oh, my God, this is going to be drudgery. because it's hard for me to be interested in reading too many things right now. I'm pretty busy. And so she has a recollection of being in Auschwitz, and she has a recollection, a past life recollection, of when she was there, she was communicating interdimensional forces that were kind of guiding her to be a light worker for the people in Auschwitz. Mm. Saying that okay? Is that right, Tara?
Well, I work with the angels, but mostly I work directly with God in the love of my heart.
Right. And so she told the story of that. And then in the middle of the book, she suddenly starts talking about Akhenaten and Ra. And I said, where did this come from? So I called her up, and it was very deep, but what I was reading. I called her up and started talking to each other after I finished the book. And she has a connection with Akhenaten, and I have a connection with Akhenaten. So we were kind of like reminiscing about old times.
Very old times.
Very old times, right. And so here we are. And one Monday, we'll let her, when her book gets closer to coming out, we'll let her talk about it on the call.
Thank you.
Okay. And this is Lynn. Is anyone else there?
Hi, this is Alan in Sedona. Enjoyed meeting you last night, Lynn.
Hi, Alan. Thank you. Now, Alan is a great guy. He rides his bicycle everywhere around Sedona. Oh, you're the Alan that I met last night. I knew you from the conference calls and from our emails, but I didn't connect that you were the same Alan. Okay. Super. Okay. Anyone else there?
This is Mary Jo, Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Wynn.
Nice to have you. And who else is there?
This is Conrad in San Diego.
Conrad, hey.
Hey.
If anyone needs a great carpenter in San Diego, Conrad's your man. Oh. And anyone else there? Terry's not here. Terry, where are you? All right. Let me mute everybody for a moment.
All callers are muted.
And, you know, I try to take this hour and think of what's the most valuable thing. Sometimes I just start out from chaos and start talking. But there's been so many amazing things that have been happening within our group. And by our group, what I mean by our group is we've been doing these conference calls for a little while now, and oftentimes we started out having some channelings on the calls, and channelings are kind of a weird thing because when you have a voice talking to you from somewhere else, there's a period that everyone has to go through of evaluation of deciding if it's trustworthy and what its intentions are. And I remember some years ago when Terry, when I was with Terry in Los Angeles, and she went to a channel and she wanted me to come in. This was 1995, I think. And I wouldn't even come in, because I was afraid that maybe whose influence am I coming under, and can I trust it? And what if they say something accurate about me psychically? Would I get addicted? Would I give up my power? I didn't want to tempt myself. And for good reason, as I've learned in the long run, because not all channeling comes from positive sources. And whenever you're introducing channeling, the idea of channeling, which is a voice coming from somewhere else, you always have to wonder, how can I trust this? And in my own case, this has been going on now for my personal experience for 6 years, and it probably took me 2 to 3 years to come to the conclusion that who I was talking to was who they really said they were, and that they were trustworthy, and learning how to develop this relationship, and also how to use it so it could benefit other people. And I think the greatest benefit, this is Lynn, would you like to say your name and your city? Oh, you're muted.
Terry in Los Angeles.
Oh, Terry, where have you been? All right. I forgot to start recording.
This conference will now be recorded.
Okay. This is Lynn. Would you like to say...
All callers are unmuted.
Would you like to say your name and your city? Okay. Someone there want to say hello? You don't have to. It's okay. Okay.
All callers are muted.
Okay, everyone's muted, and it's just Terry and me. So, the voice that was speaking to me identified themselves initially by the name the Council of On, and then later on they said the Council of On was part of the Council of Elohim. Now, in my case, they didn't just lecture me, or they didn't give discourses and say, put this discourse out to the public. A lot of people that have channelings, that's kind of, they do that, and I think I've read many of them, and I think there's great, great, great things that they're sharing. But in my case, they didn't do that. They didn't just say, here's what we say, and please deliver this to the world. In my case, they just told me to ask questions. And I actually wished they had, at the time, initially, I said, why don't they just tell me to put something out into the world like everybody else so I can do that? But they never did. They just said, ask us questions. And they were forcing me to, first of all, develop a relationship with them, and second of all, to prove to myself, my own inquisitive, skeptical, scrutinizing mind, that they could answer questions about really amazing things which Terry had no knowledge of and which I could never come up with. And to prove to myself that I had a positive source. Because, you know, this was not just a little source that was talking to me. They said they were the Council of On, and then they said the Council of On was part of the Council of Elohim. And I looked up the word Elohim, and I got things like God of the Old Testament, the Creator God of this realm. And quite frankly, I didn't believe I could be talking to the Creator God of this realm. I just couldn't believe it. But they didn't ask me to do anything. They didn't ask me to believe anything. When I asked them if they were that, they said they were part of that. And so I had lots of opportunities to ask them questions about their involvement in this realm and how they interfaced with this realm. And over a period of time, I got to understand that they weren't God in the way that we would normally think of God. In fact, I don't know if there is a normal way of thinking of God, but the way that I would have thought of God was not who they were. And I started to kind of get an intuitive grasp of how creation works, just by all the numerous questions that I had the opportunity to ask and get answered. And it all started to make sense. And I started to internalize it. And after about 3 years, I said, this is kind of important. I think they are who they say they are. And the real important aspect of this connection is not worshiping them, not putting them on a pedestal. They said they didn't want that. And understanding how we can connect with them. And I had an interesting conversation with someone where I had to explain this today. And I kind of came up with this way of explaining it. Everything has an energy attached to it. Everything has a hologram attached to it. Every group has its unique hologram attached to it. And all these holograms are compartmentalized energy constructs that exist simultaneously independently, but potentially interconnected. So, for example, here's something that you probably all have experienced to some degree or another. The example I used when I was talking to somebody was, let's suppose there was this big company, or even a small company, and you knew somebody that worked there, and you wanted a job, and you had a long conversation with somebody about the company that they were working for. Well, when they're talking about the company they're working for, they are not just giving you information. They are part of the energetic hologram of that company. That company has a group energy. And when they talk about it, they invoke the energy of that company. And if you're sensitive, even slightly so, you can start tuning in to that company, and you could feel the energy of that company. So if you were looking for a job, and you were going to knock on the door of that company, well, if you had this conversation with the person that worked there, you would almost feel connected with that company. And you could walk in and introduce yourself, and you would feel like you, that connection that you established from talking with your friend would greatly increase your chances of getting a job, as opposed to being a stranger. Or another way is, like, if you go to a city or a town, or let's say a small city, and you know somebody there, that person is connected with the hologram of the city or the town. So once you connect with that person, and then you go into the city, you're connected with the city, as opposed to being a total stranger. I learned this a long time ago, that if I went into a strange city and I wanted to connect with that city, I would go to a local restaurant that all the townspeople went to. And once I ate there, just by being in that restaurant, it helped connect my energy up to the city. So we are all doing this energy exchange, but we don't normally think about it. But if you think of your experience, it works that way. And that when you know someone who's connected with some larger hologram or some larger energy construct, when you connect with them, you also connect with that energy if you're the least bit sensitive. And it all happens automatically. It's not at a level of thought. And you have to review your experience to say, yeah, I can see how that works that way. Well, if we're dealing with an energy that's not in this realm, then you don't have a physical representation of that energy here. So it's harder for an energy from another realm to make itself known in this realm. And what was happening was that these group souls, I'm talking about the Elohim in particular right now, were developing a relationship with me by these conversations and dialogues. And the more we dialogued, the more I could start to sense them energetically. And their energy would be contained within the words of the person that was channeling them. And that as I became more and more tuned into their energy, I started to realize that I was connecting with their energy even when I wasn't channeling. And I could feel their energy in my space. So my experiment was, well, if they're in my space and I'm connecting to them, and if I connect with you, can you connect with them? Much like somebody that works in an office or is in a town, when you meet them, you connect with the energy of the town. And so that was my postulate. And so I said, I'll experiment with that. And I mean, they said it was true. They said they were paying attention to me and that it was very valuable to be able to help connect people up with their energy. And then once that happened, of course, people would have their own direct relationship. And so these conference calls were and are one way that I am working that idea. And the people that have been on the conference call regularly have learned to make their own connections, many of them. And making these connections has a great value in this realm. And what is the value? Well, basically, many people who have studied metaphysical things know that for something to manifest in this realm, that, let me say, not all things. Obviously, there are certain things that are purely physical, i.e., if you go to turn on your sink, you don't need help from other realms. Or turn on your television, or flush the toilet, or take the bus, or drive your car. Those are things that are purely physical, and you can make a decision and do them. But there's other things that are more complicated. They involve interrelationships with other people. They involve cooperations. They involve healings. They involve doing things that are much more grandiose than turning on your sink. And you can make a plan to do this, and you can try to use the same willpower that you use to turn on your sink, and it's really hard to make it happen. Well, I've learned that things that are really grandiose in this realm, things that are really impactful, usually start in another realm. And somebody starts thinking about them, and because they're thinking about it, they create an energy through the veil that starts creating an energy form, and that energy form then starts building if they hold the intent, and eventually turns into a physical manifestation. And it can occur through the chance meeting of two people. Like you're thinking you want to do something, and you sit down somewhere, and you're sitting right next to the person that can help you do it. And you say to yourself, how did I manage that? Well, this is the way higher realms operate to create things. Now, when I say the higher realms are not separate from you. You are the higher realms as well as a physical body, except you don't know it, because in this physical realm, you're cut off from the other realms, seeing them directly. And the way the link works to the other realms is through your intention. Now, everyone has the ability to do this, and everyone does do it to some extent. And intentions don't necessarily have to all be positive. For example, some people have an intention to hurt someone, or to make a curse, or I wish they were dead. Those are real things that you start making energy in other realms that the other person can actually feel. I don't suggest anyone doing that, but I'm making the point that the idea of the other realms doesn't necessarily mean that everything positive occurs through intentions. And so we're very responsible for all our thoughts and thinking and attitudes, because every time we do, to some degree or another, we're creating a message to our higher part of ourselves that starts to activate and make that happen. And we don't even realize it. So if you have those kinds of thoughts, I would suggest noticing them, putting the light around them, and don't support them. Don't keep thinking, I hate that person, or I'm jealous of that person, or da-da-da-da-da, because those thoughts become energies that create manifestations. Well, what we're doing here is creating intentions that create positive manifestations. And when we start accessing our abilities to do that, and we create intentions in this realm that go through the veil, each of us is just a small little piece of intention. And each of us has so much access to causing something to happen. When two people together create an intention together, they increase the ability or the possibility of the creation, manifestation of that intention many, many times, exponentially. And now that can be for a negative intention as well as a positive intention. Now, the key to this is, on the other side of the veil, there are these very positive energies that have described themselves to me as group souls. And one of them is the Elohim, and the other one is the Ra group. And the Elohim are kind of at the top of all these matrixes, and they have the ability to move through the matrixes into this realm. And they have the ability to help us here. But they have a stipulation of free will. So we have to reach up to connect with them, and we can use our intention to do that. And part of the purpose of these calls is to create a reference point for people who are listening to consider that this is possible, because many people think it's not, not possible. Most people are stuck in their little reality box, and it's hard for them to find the thrust to penetrate through what we call the veil. But when a group of us are together on this call, we increase our thrust many times. When you have the intention to penetrate the veil and make the connection to these higher matrices, then the call is a focalization of intention of a group of people, which increases the thrust to make the possibility of the connection far more possible. Are real. And so when we do that, many of you, as the call goes on, can feel the shift in energy in your space. And, of course, it's different for different people. And then I get emails that say, I got goosebumps, or I felt the pressure on the top of my head, or I could feel my heart open up, or I could feel all these energies moving through me. I could feel connection. And so we're making a reference point and inviting those energies in. And, of course, if you're going to bring energy in, if you're here for the first time, you may not want to invite it in. You may want to check it out. You may want to read some of the things they have said, because you need to first trust what you're inviting in and be sure that you're comfortable with it. And I always tell people, and it's over and over and over again, not to believe in this in your mind. Just be open to the possibility of it. And the openness and the reading of their words is part of what opens the door for you to make a connection. Now, in truth, all is one. So these sources are actually part of you. You're part of me. I'm part of you. And there's an illusion of separateness. And so if you're in the illusion of separateness, which all of us participate as part of being a human being, we have to create the possibility that maybe we do exist outside of this separateness. Maybe there's a part of us that exists right now that is not separate from each other, that is connected. And even though you can't see it, maybe you can sense it. I'm sure all of you felt connected to someone in the physical where you felt you were one with them. It might have been your mother and father. It might have been your romantic partner. It might be your wife. It might be your children. Well, can we go from there, which is kind of a tribal connection of oneness, to a universal connection of oneness? Not only of all the beings on the planet, but to all the beings in the universe. Now, of course, we can't see them. So you're talking about invisible realms. But we can feel them. And the first step is having the possibility that it's real. Second step is looking for it. And part of this call is helping you to find their frequency. It's the best way to describe it, that they have a frequency that you can, if you tune in your inner consciousness, you can connect. So creating a reference point for their frequency. And, you know, we did what I feel is an extraordinary channeling a few weeks ago with Terry. And I thought I wanted to read some of the things from that channeling, because to me, this is kind of even a theological breakthrough. And it was the channeling on grace. And it started out with a conversation where we were talking to the Elohim, and they were describing, I asked about a fellow named, I read something that Philip J. Dick is a famous science fiction writer who died, and many of his stories were turned into movies, and there was an obscure thing that I found on the internet when I was searching the word Elohim. And it turns out that he was doing some personal writings where he was talking about the Elohim and it became evident to me that he was portraying some knowledge about how things work in, I believe it was in the 60s, that was not out there, that I had never heard anyone, I'd read a lot of spiritual and metaphysical things in that period, and I never heard anyone say this. And it had to do with, he called them pluriforms of light that voluntarily came from higher realms and descended into this realm in order to help uplift this realm. But when they got here, they would forget who they were and become part of the darkness, and that he would say they were part of the Elohim. Now, in the work that I've done and studied and channeled, that exactly matched what I had learned. In fact, that there are millions of people on this planet who have come in from higher realms to be of service down here, and that they all get lost once they're here. And they have to rediscover that that was their intention in taking a body. And sometimes they get lost for many, 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 many lifetimes before they find the connection to remind them of their original intent in coming into this realm. And there are Elohim beings in this realm, and there are Ra beings in this realm. And those of you, of course, that have followed these calls know that the Ra group is made up of graduates of this realm and have a lot of wisdom of how this realm works. And the Elohim group is made up of beings that never came into this realm. And, of course, the ones that have come here usually get stuck. And so we did a fascinating discussion about that. And I thought I'd read it and maybe make some comments, and I'll even open up the line so some of you on the line, I want to make sure we leave some room. 734, I want to make sure that we leave some room for a real channeling this evening, if Terry's up to it. So I asked the question here about these pluriforms of light that came into this realm. And the Elohim answered, since the being from our realm or further from the Ra realm moves into your realm, the light intensifies as the individual cross intersects the denser nature, compacted molecular structure in the third density. As the vibrational intersections with matter intersect with the molecular nature in your realm, light is given off, and light intensifies, making plural connections. Okay, now what does that mean? Hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Now, there's not too much noise on the line, which there isn't. Does anyone have a comment? Have if they understood that? Good. No. let me keep reading. The one known as Grace from the Elohim realm is able to then come in, although not come in to reside or relocate into your realm, but to shatter the molecular structures and free them.
All callers are muted.
Free them from their rigid, complex, frozen, geometrical, sacred geometries, and to again get karma moving and one moving and progressing on their path. This is one of the effects of connection with our realm and your realm. It is seen as your realm as little flecks of light. Okay, so let me translate that in the way that I understand it. Each of us is a walking hologram. Each of us has an energy body, and our energy bodies are moving and interacting and connecting with other energy bodies, and each of us has the potential to have our energy body be part of a matrix that goes right back to source. And, of course, if you're going back to source, you're going through the realm of the Elohim and the Ra, and they're all connected to your matrix. Most of us have what they call stuck geometries. Why do they use the word geometry? Because there's all these overlapping dimensions that are organized by something called sacred geometry. And the Elohim at the top of the heap can look down through all these intersecting, overlapping dimensions, and it looks to them. They see the geometry of it all. They're very mathematical. They see how a human is actually a complex coordination of energy forms that culminate in this physical realm as a body. And we are all connected to those energy forms. And when they talk about stuck geometries, every time we connect with anything or another human, our connection is obviously we're having physical bodies near each other. We have intelligent communication coming through our mouths and listening to our brains. We have emotional energies passing back and forth. But also, our holograms are interacting with the other person's hologram. And in most cases in this realm, the holograms are creating a lower level of interaction that locks the geometries at that level. And that's how the Elohim see it. They see the locked geometries, the stuck geometries. Now, if the geometries weren't stuck, the two holograms would become one and then find a path to go higher and expand. But say that doesn't usually happen. Another way of looking at it is you have your reality system and I have my reality system. And when we connect, we try to find a way of commonality in our reality systems. And so, well, we both like to go to the movies, so we'll go to movies together and watch movies. Or we can have philosophical discussions. And so we're stuck, or we hate each other, or we're mad at each other. The stuck geometries revolve around where those things lock in. Because we, as a collective, are creating the reality system in this realm. And the collective has a huge stuck geometry that is very hard to break. And people watch TV, they listen to radio, they have ways of thinking, and it's all stuck geometries that keep people's energy fields holographically trapped in this dimension. So the Elohim is explaining that here, and they say from their realm they can intersect with these stuck geometries and help release them. Again, the one known as grace from the Elohim is able to come in, but not come in or reside or relocate. In other words, grace does not come in with some kind of body or physical kind of manifestation here, but to shatter the structures and free them from their rigid, complex, frozen, geometrical geometries and to get things moving. And when things move and when grace comes in, some of you may have actually seen these little flecks of light. I have. I used to see them years ago. I could see energy come into the room, and I could see it, but I never understood it at that time. So they're essentially giving us a description here of a tool which we can use to unstick our geometries, to unstick our frozen rigidity, which actually has to start in other realms, not in the physical realm. So, again, they say here in this channeling, we have for eons been trying to figure out how to connect with your realm and to not lose the entities that have come into your realm that wanted to be available to you in your realm. There is a certain mindset when an individual comes from our realm to your realm that they will be the ones that will break through into your realm and reestablish communication. Okay, by communication, they mean being able to have their energy move into this realm so that it frees it all up. Because without anyone doing this, this realm would stay in dark shadows and there'd be no hope. So they have Elohim souls who've never had bodies volunteer to come into this realm to try to unstick it. It is as if your whole third density is an outpost who has lost radio communication, and the desire to connect and reestablish an energy flow, a knowledge within your lost memories of home that you may know that you are not marooned on an island. You are only disconnected communication and vibrationally from your brothers and sisters and fellows from home who are there trying to reestablish connection. And many in our realm come into your realm with the idea that they will be the ones will be able to reestablish connection. From our realm, the communication is so free and so easy that we do not see that when we reach your realm, that the stuck geometries will inhibit the flow. But because of the stuck geometries, which then the individual has come into your realm, the individual meaning the Elohim soul, is now looking at these walls of geometry, which are not his real nature. And they are reflecting back to him, and he is then taking on their identity and seeing it as his mind, but it is a reflection back. It's not who he really is. And then he takes the nature of your realm and does lose the surface connection with our home reality and existence. So they're explaining how when these souls come into this realm, and they come in with the idea of liberating it. Once they're here, they get into the reflection of the stuck geometries. And there's very little, or they have to search, if they find themselves looking, to find the path to unstick this and grasp and connect with the higher forms. So then I ask the question, as a person attempts to make the connections, how would it feel when they do make the connection? And how could they utilize the connection for higher service once they have made it? Now, obviously I'm thinking about myself because I realize that, at least in my experience, I think we're making the connection here. And so I'm always wondering, how do we work that? And the answer is the individual, once he realized that he is trying to home in on us and look for us, often is looking at the molecular vibrations around him and seeing the lower vibrations and not tuning into our very high frequency that is able to permeate your frequency. It can come across as a very light, high vibrational flow, full of love light. And once the individual realizes a sense of home and that he is deeply loved, and it is a two-way love as the connection is back and forth, as the individuals in your realm have immense love, and once they recognize the higher vibrational intense love, it propriates them.
Well, I looked it up afterwards. I'm not familiar with that word, but I think it means that it propels them.
In all directions.
Yeah.
It is a matter of realizing what one is looking at. If the vibrations were of a lower or more gross nature, then the reflection back may also be one of light of his own being intersecting molecular structures around him as he puts out his energy field. However, to connect to us, it does pervade through all of the dense molecular structures of your realm and is like a faraway love signal, high vibrational signal that moves through matter, clear through matter, and does not just bounce back from a proximity range to the individual of a millimeter or so to miles of his dense matrix surroundings. Is there a further part of that question? Right now, are we talking to Ra'an, or are we talking to more of the Elohim? Now, Ra'an is a voice that is spoken to us through Terry that identifies itself as a blend of both Ra and the Elohim, and very often they have blended, they say they blended, to communicate to us, and so we have the benefit of both group souls working with us on this line. Now, what time is it? 7:48. I have blown it again. We're supposed to be off in 2 minutes. Jeez. And I'll bet they want to say something. Well, you know what? I'm going to keep talking and say goodbye to BBS. And for those of us on the telephone line, we'll continue with the channeling. Now, if you happen to be on BBS and want to listen to the channeling that's going to come up, you can call our conference line. I'll give you the number, so that way you won't miss anything. It is 218-936-1100, and the PIN is 37525#. Because we're going to have a conversation with them on that line, and we only have 2 minutes on BBS, so instead of starting it now and then going there, we'll just tell people in BBS. They always feel we start it and it cuts off. Call the phone line, 218-936-1100, 37525, and you can listen to what happens next. What I want to do now, before we close out, is let's just put into action what we've been talking about. And that is, I want you all who are listening, who choose to participate, is send your loving energy out into this field of energy that these two group souls are, and ask them to send your love back to you. See if you can feel a two-way interchange. For most people, channeled voices are rare, but the connection of energy is possible for anyone. Close your eyes. Ask for the energy of your heart to be open. Send that heart energy and that loving space out into the space around you, as far as you can imagine it going. And imagine there's an intelligence that can feel that energy past all of your stuck matrixes and send love back to you. This is a very powerful thing to develop because most of us feel separated, alone, lonely. Maybe, I won't say, many of you have relationships and you're feeling a loving sense with your partner. But even sometimes when you have a partner, you feel that sense of emptiness. And now here is an energy that doesn't have a body that says they can love you unconditionally, no obligation. All you have to do is ask. So on that note, we are going to say goodbye to those of you on BBS. If you want to call, I gave you the number, and I'll give you a couple minutes to tune in. And we're going to do a discussion with that intelligence that is telling us. They can send energy and love back to us from their realm, and they actually want to do that. They want us to connect with them, and they to us. For BBS, if you're not subscribed to my daily email from these higher sources, please go to messageaday.net and sign up. It's free. Also, recommend reading my book, Return of the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, at returnofedgar.com. And we'll say goodbye to you all. And thank you for being here. We'll be here again next week. And Terry is here. And Terry is, maybe we'll start a channeling earlier next week. But I thought going through that channeling on grace would help some of you make a connection. And so we'll just have a short moment of silence. And we'll call in the light. Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here, and any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted.